I'm Benjamin Hellings, the Ben Lee Damski Assistant Curator of Numismatics. And today I thought we would spend a bit of time just looking at the Naseby Cup. And that's this very ornate silver cup right in front of you. So before we start looking at all the coins and medals, I thought we would start to actually just look at the object as a piece first. So the first thing you should look at is to try and find the silver hallmarks that are nearby the left handle. These marks provide us the initial information. From them, we can determine that the cup is made out of sterling silver. It was made in London and during the reign of Victoria by the silversmiths Charles Riley and George Storer. And the letter D hallmark designates the year of production, which in this case is 1839. Now, the next thing to consider is who commissioned this beautiful object and why. And at the front, at the silver base, you can read all about it. And the text there indicates that there's coins and medals that are illustrative of this English Civil War period, and that it was dedicated or commissioned by John and Mary Frances Fitzgerald, who are the Lord and Lady of the Manor. So we have our commissioners and the motivations for the creation of a cup, but there are a number of things that we can tease out from this statement. If a statement is truthful, we can link the manor to the scene of action or the Battle of Naseby. And for those of you who don't know where Naseby is, it's in Northamptonshire, which is more or less right in the middle of England. So who were John and Mary Frances Fitzgerald? We know that Mary was the inheritor of the manor in Naseby, and she was also heiress to one of the largest fortunes in Britain. John married Mary, who was his first cousin, in 1801, and then in 1818, he assumed the Fitzgerald family name after the death of his father-in-law. Although there was no legal reason to change his name in order to inherit the family money, it was emblematic of a relationship between Mary and John. Mary Frances, with her dominant personality, did not think highly of John Purcell, but followed her own parents, who had also been first cousins, and married to protect the family wealth. Mary was also an avid supporter of the arts and fascinated by the traditions of her family, who claimed that Cromwell, a key figure in the Civil War, was a family ancestor, although the truth behind this claim is unclear. So we have this incredibly fascinating history behind the commissioning of a cup and its former owners. Now, another puzzle with this cup is the claim that some of these coins and medals were found on the battlefield, which is incredibly difficult to substantiate. I encourage you to spend some time looking closely at each and every single coin or medal, and if you do so, you'll notice that some of the coins look heavily worn and beaten, presumably as a consequence of circulation or erosion in the soil for over a century. There are also some common low-value coins, which would have been the kind that the soldiers would have used on a daily basis. But at the same time, we have some extraordinary numismatic rarities. Throughout, you can see some lovely gold coins, but at the front of a cup at the hip at around 7 o'clock, you should spot a very simple coin, actually, with just the letters N-E. This coin dates to 1652, so it dates to after the battle at Naseby, but it is one of the first coins ever struck in the U.S. It is a New England shilling struck in Boston in the context of the English Civil War. Now, it may have been included as a reference to the general turbulence that spread beyond the borders of Great Britain and Ireland. After all, many of the colonists had not left England too long ago before the outbreak of the English Civil War. Not only were they dependent on England for their survival, but they were still in the process of establishing their own institutions, confronting many of the same economic, political, social, and religious issues as their counterparts in Britain. Now, many of the pieces integrated within the Silver Cup each have a fascinating story behind them, but for now, I encourage you to look closely at each as they portray different production mechanisms between hand-struck and the screw press, and display portraits of some of the key figures in the English Civil War.